the law assumed sermon, the gospel afterthought sermon, the God loves you anyway sermon. I've written an article in the latest issues, etc. journal titled An Updated Listener's Guide to the Pulpit. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Dr. Matt Richard details his journey from folk Lutheranism to confessional Lutheranism. The free online Issues Etc. journal.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
We find Elijah down by the brook of Cherith. He's been commanded to go there by God himself. He's actually been commanded something else by God, and that is to stop the rain. He has the power, God says, through his proclamation. It's God's power conferred upon the prophet to stop rain for as long as he says it should stop. And that's precisely what God tells him to do. And this is God's judgment. Now, that doesn't sound like a bad idea until it goes on for 3 years. And people die. And people starve. And your crops never grow. And your children are dying of starvation and thirst. Or the country's emptying out because there's no rain. God's judgment can sometimes be very, very harsh. And Elijah's the one, in the midst of all that, who's still drinking and eating down by the brook of Cherith because God is providing for him and through him for a few others. We're going to talk about 1 Kings 17 as we teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you very much.
So we have Elijah there, and first we got to understand why God's harsh judgment. In the end, it's kind of the thing that the judgment doesn't seem so bad until after month three, month four, and then it goes on for years, and it means, in many ways, the economic destruction of God's people. Why is God so harsh in his judgment in this case? What have the people been up to?
Once more, the answer must come from Scripture. It's in the previous chapter, chapter 16, where Ahab, the son of Omri, begins to reign over Israel. And here's what verse 30 says about him. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord more than all who were before him. If that's not bad enough, verse 33, and Ahab made an Asherah, which, of course, is an idol, and he did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. So what we have here is not only a king who is doing this, but there appears to be no contradiction on the part of the people against the king. He is doing it. Nobody is criticizing him, and therefore the people have become part and parcel of the problem. And therefore, God isn't going to let this continue because he has a promise that through this people will come the Messiah. But if they all start worshiping idols, then of course they will no longer be in existence, and God would not be able to continue with his promise. So he now sends a punishment, and that is mentioned by the prophet Elijah.
The punishment seems to be, in the long run, devastating here, and I think it's intended to be devastating. And it sounds like God's, and I'm looking here at verse 17, now Elijah the Tishbite said to Ahab, as the Lord of God of Israel lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him. Sounds like he's ready to stop the rain, literally, in order to bring repentance on the part of God's people, if not of Ahab.
Yes, I'm not really sure that Elijah made this up on himself. Remember, he says, before whom I stand. And it kind of reminds me of a time when the pastor says, upon this, your confession, in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. That action is not something a pastor has invented and God's going along with it. But I believe that Elijah standing before God was told this by God, and therefore he is now doing what is said by God. In fact, at the end of this whole section, the woman that Elijah goes to live with and raises her son from the dead, she says, "Now I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." So she connects what Elijah is saying to the word of the Lord, and all that the Lord is doing is using the mouth of Elijah.
So how does God provide for Elijah and eventually this woman and her son during the course of this years-long drought?
I think this is really important to understand. He could have got rid of the problem by simply making Ahab and Jezebel so sick that they died. But no, he instead sends Elijah to an area that is really quite deserted. And he is by a brook, and he lives there for some time, and God commands the ravens to bring him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he was able to drink from the brook. After a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Why do I think this is so significant? So often, we're looking for some miraculous item that God is going to bring into our life to solve our problems, when in reality, he uses very common things, like birds, like bread, like meat, like water. And there was no miracle that he had to do to get rid of Ahab and Jezebel, who I am sure were looking for Elijah to put them to death. In fact, Jezebel finally makes a promise that if he's not dead in such and such a time, she's really going to be disappointed. And she ends up being dead in such and such a time. But the word of the Lord, therefore, that Elijah says this, and then God takes care of him through natural means. He doesn't give Elijah a few pieces of bread like he did to the 5,000 later on, and it keeps multiplying. Now, he does something like that with the widow at Zarephath. But I think the point I would want to get across to the children is when there are times when you're really wondering if God is taking care of you, just look around to see all the helps that God has provided you and be content with that, because God says he will never leave you, he will never forsake you. And in a sense, there was a miracle here because the birds were bringing him bread and meat. I mean, where did they get that? Nobody tells. But the fact of the matter is, he didn't put him in a place where Ahab and Jezebel, once they had died, then he would be safe. No, God continues to fulfill his plans, often with means that are surprising to us.
So he eats bread and meat from the ravens, and he drinks from the brook, but then, we're told, then the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Again, God could have kept the brook going for Elijah miraculously, but this is a drought that leads even to drying up of this brook. What happens next with Elijah?
Once more, the word of the Lord comes to him, and he is told to go to Zarephath. This is a small coastal town of Phoenicia between Tyre and Sidon. And what's interesting here is this is where Jesus met the Syrophoenician woman of great faith. It is a Gentile area, and Jesus makes some remarks about this later on in the New Testament. And he is told that, and this is something we often miss, "Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you." And when he went there, behold, a widow was gathering sticks. He called to her, "Bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink." And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." And here's what she says, "As the Lord your God lives." So obviously, somehow God had communicated to her, because she refers to him with the name of the Lord. That's Yahweh. It's in capital letters in the English, the name given to Moses. She says, "I've nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar, a little oil in a jug. And so I'm going to gather a couple of sticks and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die, because that's the last of her food." But Elijah says to her, "First make me a little cake, bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son." And here again, he clearly quotes the Lord, verse 14. "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, the jug of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth." Here we have a promise from God. And when you hear a promise from God, that means it is going to happen, because that's what the word of the Lord means when he makes a promise. And sure enough, she did as Elijah said, and her household ate for many days with a jar of flour not being spent, nor the jug of oil becoming empty. And then at the end of verse 16, "according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." So when I, as a pastor, baptize a child, a baby, an infant, I say to the parents that that child is now brought into the kingdom of God, is a part of the family, and they are not to doubt it, because I'm simply repeating what God himself says in regard to baptism in Acts chapter 2, that it's also for little children.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You will find a link to Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today, God providing for the prophet Elijah and a woman and her son in 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll be right back. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Zion Lutheran, Detroit, Michigan. St. Paul's Lutheran, Long Beach, California. All Saints Lutheran, Charlotte, North Carolina. Redeemer Lutheran, Colorado Springs, Colorado. Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran, Garrison, Minnesota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Holy Cross Lutheran, St. Genevieve, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you find yourself fixing the theology on store-bought greeting cards when you give them to friends and family? Put away that Sharpie. EdGruesome.com has greeting cards, art, jewelry, certificates, church banners, housewares, and all sorts of fantastic gifts that proclaim Christ crucified for us. Whether you're a value shopper or a collector, you'll find something at adcrucem.com. That's adcrucem.com.
I bet you didn't know that the teaching of Latin in schools is making a comeback. Latin? Really? Isn't that a dead language? Well, take a look at what studies say about how well Latin students do on a test like the SAT. Memoria Press's Latin program will revolutionize your students' vocabulary, knowledge, and their understanding of grammar. And there is no better subject for teaching critical thinking skills. Visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about Elijah the prophet being provided for, and then through the prophet and the word that God has put in his mouth, a widow woman and her son provided for not only daily sustenance, but as we'll see here in a moment, life itself. There's a third incident here. First, we have Elijah by himself, then he is sent by God to this widow of Zarephath, and then the son of this woman falls ill and eventually dies. Tell us that part.
Yes, it begins with verse 17, that he became ill, and illness was so severe that there was no breath left in him. Then we hear the woman speaking to Elijah. What have you against me, O man of God? You have come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and to cause the death of my son. This is a beautiful example of what Martin Luther talks about, the theologian of self-glory. The theologian of self-glory regards the experience, and in this case with this woman, that is happening to her, and she's of the understanding that if God really is caring for her, as obviously is, with the food never running out, then why did her son die? It's because of some sin she has done. It's a belief that I like to call karma. What comes around goes around. And I can't believe how many Christians really look to that at times to explain why bad things are happening to them. Well, this is happening because I did this or I did that, etc. This is really a wrong view of God, that there is never a time that God permits evil to come to a person who is a Christian that he doesn't work out for their good. And so she goes to Elijah, and rather than reprimand her, he goes up into the upper chamber and laid the boy on his own bed. And he cries to the Lord, O Lord my God, did you bring calamity even upon the widow with whom I sojourn by killing her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried to the Lord, O Lord my God, let this child's life come to him again. Verse 22, and the Lord listened to the voice of Elijah. Remember, the prayer of the righteous means much. And the life of the child came unto him again, and he reviled. And he brought the child down, and see, your son lives. And this is where the woman says, now I know you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. That happened for us with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that the fact that, yes, he died. And I'll never forget that Emmaus Road experience. The disciples knew he died. They had even heard the possibility that he had risen from the dead, but they were still totally confused. And the reason they were totally confused is because of theologians of self-glory. They look to experience to help them explain what is happening in their lives. And that Jesus would die on the cross seemed to make no sense at all. So when Jesus did the greatest Bible study, I believe, that ever occurred on earth on that road to Emmaus, he explained to them the reason he had to die. Going throughout the Old Testament verses, I'm sure Genesis 3:15 about the promise of the Messiah, Isaiah 53, by his stripes we are healed, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And as they began to understand God's purpose in having Jesus die upon the cross, their heart burned within them with excitement. And that's what the purpose of every sermon, every Bible study is, to get the hearts of the people to burn within them as they began to understand insights that they may not be able to see in the in the English language, as pastors who are trained in the original language can often see. So this is a beautiful item that has occurred, but more importantly, Elijah isn't just pointing to Jesus, he's also pointing to the second Elijah. Remember, Elijah went up into heaven in a chariot. So many people thought that Jesus was the Elijah who would come back. But of course he was not. Now Elijah did appear on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses, and there with Jesus and God the Father. But the point that we would want to make here is that Elijah really prefigures John the Baptist. What did John the Baptist do? He preached repentance to the people. What did Elijah do? He preached a repentance to Ahab and the whole people, that as they went after false gods, guess what was going to happen? And it happened also in Jerusalem in 70 AD when the temple was destroyed by the Romans. And so as Elijah is a forerunner to Jesus, so also John the Baptizer, whom Jesus speaks about as the new Elijah, is also the forerunner to Jesus. And what do we mean by forerunner? It means someone who prepares the way for the runner. In other words, the hills are brought low and the valleys are brought up, so there is a smooth path. And that smooth path Jesus referred to as, you know, there are two ways. The broad way that many people are on, thinking that by their works they're getting to heaven, and the narrow way who trust in Jesus and Him alone. So this item with Elijah is much more than him being fed in the desert. Remember, John the Baptizer was fed in the desert. Much more than him giving a miracle, but also being the forerunner to the message of God. And what Elijah therefore said, what John the Baptist said, is what we as pastors and parents need to continue to say to our people and our children.
Since, and you have mentioned it several times, the word of the Lord, it comes to Elijah, it's in his mouth, it is said. And I'm put in mind of Jesus in the wilderness going hungry during his 40 days of fasting there. And his response to the devil's temptation to turn stones into bread is, a man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Is that part of what we're teaching here in this Sunday
school? Yes. In fact, the Growing in Christ material does a wonderful job in making us aware of the fact that there are a number of known feedings, and the ones they point to are the giving of manna in the wilderness, and of course, Jesus feeding of the 5,000. And here we have, again, a miracle of feeding, namely Elijah with the widow and her son, where the flour and the oil doesn't run out. And so you can't read this and think this is just something to have in mind, maybe to memorize so you know the story well. You need to see the insights, and it shows that there is, while there are many writers in the Bible, there's only one author, and that author is none other than God Himself, who through the Holy Spirit inspired the prophets and the apostles to write the Word of God in truth, because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nothing is more important for a pastor to do than to speak the truth. In other words, he is simply repeating the Word of God as found in the entire Bible for our day today, and then, with the help of the Holy Spirit, making application to the congregation so that they can be relieved of their anxiety, know that their sins are forgiven, and that heaven is their home.
Can we also take this particular Sunday school lesson as an opportunity to at least mention our Lord's words in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread? About a minute here, Tom.
Yes. The seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer cover all of our needs. And Martin Luther does such a fantastic job. What does this mean? Give us this day our daily bread. He talks about good weather, good government, peace, good parents, etc. You see, in a time of war, it's very hard to find bread. In a time of famine, remember, the people were starving. And it recalls that Joseph was sent by God to Egypt to interpret the dream of Pharaoh so that during the 7 years of plenty, bread could be stored for the 7 years of want, bringing Jacob and the family over to Egypt and the continuation of the messianic line.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tom had mentioned Growing in Christ, the Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House. It is Christ-centered and cross-focused, and you can see for yourself by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, and asking them to send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. You can also browse before you buy right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. You'll find a link to Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll continue our series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk on raising Christian children in an age of progressivism. We're also going to discuss Christian engagement with the world. Dr. Joel Bierman, author of a new book called Holy Citizens. That's tomorrow on Issues Etc. I'll talk with you then. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
I've got some friends down in Houston.
Join Mark and Molly Hemingway, Brian Wolfmiller, Rod Dreher, Jennifer Roback Morse, Scott Murray, and me for the 2017 Fall Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 10th and Saturday, November 11th in Houston, Texas. Registration is $120. For more information, visit issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 10th and 11th in Houston.
And they won't ask me questions.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/Luther Academy.